superb writer. Everything we got from him had been obviously vetted very, very well, and was just ready to lay down and put in the paper.
Right.
Now, let me give you an idea of how prolific he was, if you need any reminding. He started writing weekly newspaper columns for us in 1985, and virtually right up until just very recent years. That's hundreds and hundreds of history columns,
mm-hmm.
All of them interesting, all of them quite factual, as you know. He had a huge trove of data that he had collected over the years, and he would mine it for new nuggets, you know, as the occasion demanded. But he was also doing original research during this period and writing books also.
Mm-hmm.
And getting back to his style, Bob was first and foremost a journalist, you know, a terrific newsman. And Sandy and I first met the Armans in 1968. They were among the very first people we met on coming to Alaska, and that was in Juneau, where they lived at the time. And it happened that our next-door neighbor, Jerry Boquette, and his family lived in a little house that was owned by the DeArmonds. And I think it was through the Boquettes that we met Bob and Dale, who we knew were fascinating people. Dale was the Juneau City librarian at the time. And I knew from my newspaper friends that Bob had been a serious or working journalist, I should put it that way, until very recently. And because I was the AP correspondent in Juneau at the time, it was a one-person job for the whole state, I had to be out of the office from time to time. I recall two elections, statewide elections, when I had to go to Anchorage. And Bob sat in for me. He covered the AP office during the days that I was out. Did a superb job. He had his journalism chops all along, and it shows in his historic writing. I mean, he goes right to the point, and doesn't embellish, and just cranked out the history that was not available from any other source. Alaska and Juneau in particular were, in 1968, a very small town, and you very quickly became acquainted with, you know, anybody you wanted to be acquainted with, including, you know, back in those days, the governor, who would, you know, be strolling the streets. But it was just like a very small town, and so, we had kind of a fast track to the DeArmonds, mm-hmm. but they became very close friends, and we corresponded quite a bit before they made the move to Sitka in 1991, Sandy just told me. I'd forgotten when it was. But as everything else he did, Bob planned very carefully, he and Dale. They wanted to be comfortable and as self-sufficient as they could in their later years and not have to worry with keeping a house. And so they settled their affairs and in a very orderly way came over and moved into the Pioneers' home. And both of them continued, you know, without stop or pause. They're very productive artistic and journalism and historical research careers. Bob wrote several books after he moved into the Pioneer home. You know, we don't have a budget for outside contributions, and he accepted what we offered, and it worked out very well. Obviously, he wasn't in it for the money. It was more or less a stipend that we checked for the same amount that we made out every month. And he enjoyed the work, and we had great response from the readers who loved his columns. And we thought that he was going to run out of stuff before too long, but it never happened. As a matter of fact, I made a mistake one time of assuming from this note that he sent over that such and such a column will be my thousandth or something, that he was saying that he was getting ready to wind it up And I made some comment to that effect in an editor's note to that week's column. And he said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I misled you. I didn't mean to say that I was going to stop, because I've got lots more stuff." One of the very first things that I recall getting of his, the names and dates of things happening in Sitka back to the time that records were first kept. One of the remarkable things about Sitka is that there were long periods of time when there was no newspaper, weekly or otherwise, in Sitka, from around 1906, when the capital left, or the seat of government left, I should say, until the 1930s, when little weekly papers would start up sporadically. But there's a whole period of time, decades, when the history of Sitka was mostly in the memories of the people who lived here and in official records, like city council meeting records and such things as that. But Bob had the advantage of having been around during those periods, and he knew where to look for information and what families were involved in what. So he was uniquely qualified to write about Sitka during those periods especially. Towns much smaller than Sitka always had a newspaper, but for some reason it was a hard row to hoe here, and for long periods there was no newspaper, and it wasn't until 1940 that the Sitka Sentinel was started and took root, and then became the newspaper that we have today. He obviously kept meticulous records for a long time. Before we met him, he was writing history, and it was just a source of fascination to him. And it was his passion, if you will. And he arranged his life so that he had the time and leisure, if that's the word, to dedicate himself, to writing history. Mm-hmm. From time to time, when he would be referred to as Sitka's historian or Alaska's historian, he would make the very fine point, which most people don't agree with, that I'm not an historian at all. He says, I simply write down the history that's been established. A historian is someone who puts a viewpoint and draws conclusions on what he is writing about what happened in the past. I simply write down what happened. I call that an historian, nonetheless.